Ancient of Days. Our Father, this is our prayer. Refine us, change us, until the beauty of Jesus has completely overtaken us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy here because God has given His message. It's like I'm going to repeat what has been said. But I'm glad, because that is a confirmation to me that that is the message for today. Our message this morning is taken from the text that we read, 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 15 through to verse 21. In God's house, which is indeed a great house, there are many vessels. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of wood. And there are vessels of clay, earthen vessels. There are vessels that God used when He wants to do some showmanship. There are vessels that get better when they are challenged, when they pass through fire. There are vessels that last eternally. And there are vessels also that once they fall, they are scattered. It is always difficult to bring them together. Vessels that have very limited use in the hands of God. Just like in a man's house, you have the footmat. There are vessels that all they do is to collect dirt. They are good for nothing except to collect rubbish. There are refuse bins in the house of a great man. And they collect refuse that smells. And when you are approaching that great man's house, the odor, the smell, the bean exudes, sometimes sends you back. There are similar vessels even in the house of our great God. Yet again, there are vessels that a man we want to show his friends. He wants to exhibit them. Such vessels he usually preserves. Makes sure they are secure, keeps them safe. God has such vessels. However, today I want to tell you that while the human vessel, the one owned by a man, it is the vessel. The vessel has no input in whatever it becomes. You go to the market and buy a refuse dump and call it a refuse dump, and it remains a refuse dump or bin. You enter the market and tell them what you want. It's a footmat. and they give you a foot mask, and it remains a foot mask until it is no longer useful. When you want to wait, you go to the market and buy a gold ring, and it remains a gold ring. It doesn't move from being gold to refuse collector. That is for a man and his possession. However, what I want to emphasize this morning is that whatever kind of vessel you are in the house of God is determined by no other person than you. Whatever I am as a vessel in the house of God is determined by me. My usefulness, or otherwise, I am the sole determinant. My value at any particular point in time in God's hand is determined by me. That is clear from the passage that we read. In that passage, Paul said, "If a man therefore will purge himself of these, he shall be so, so, so." So there are things in us, there are things in me, in you, that position us, that determine the kind of vessel we are going to be in the hand of God. And today, my emphasis is on our role in determining what we shall be. There, Paul told Timothy, if a man, if one, this time around, it's not if God cleanses the man. It is not if the pastor cleanses the man. It is not if your wife or husband. It is the man who has to purge himself. If a man purges himself, if Obonnaya Ihunko purges himself, he shall be. We shall look at what he shall be. It is the extent to which you do the purging that determines whether you are silver or gold. Some get some level of cleaning and they are satisfied and they stay there and they don't want to move higher. It's okay. There are others who are never satisfied with their attainment in the kingdom of God, and they die daily purifying themselves, putting off everything that needs to be put off, so that they can be made vessels of honor. There is no imposition. Neither is there favoritism. One chooses the type of vessel one wishes to be. You even choose the level at which you want to operate. Some don't want to be too fanatical with this God thing. They want to be children of God, but you know, they don't want to overdo it. You decide yourself where you want to stop. But there are some who are consumed by their love for God, passion. And every other thing becomes secondary. They know nothing, they value nothing but the work of God. Now, such people clean themselves and they are used by God. We must always remember that service to nobility has always been a thing of honor. The perquisite of such service, which will include fame, rewards, promotion, may be desirable, but nothing is greater or grander or more blessed than the service itself. And who is more nobler than the King of Kings? So many of us will come for Thanksgiving if they hear that Sullivan Chime wants to make them a commissioner. So many will come here for Thanksgiving. So many will be excited that they are appointed into a board of an NPC. Because you are happy that you are going to serve your nation in that capacity. But God is looking for people to make commissioners in His church. God is looking for people who will be board members and board chairmen. And we are saying, no. It is enough to go to church. It is enough to pay my tithes. It is enough to occasionally read the lessons. I don't want to carry this thing too far. It is you that can choose to belong to the aristocracy of nobility in the Church of Christ or to stay out. God will never force you into anything. How do we choose? I've already mentioned that 2 Timothy 2:21. We individually have a critical role to play in our sanctification. Yes, God has a role to play in our sanctification. But today, my emphasis is on your role, your part in the sanctification. There are things to be purged. There are things to be cleansed. There are things to be washed off to make us worthy vessels. If a man, therefore, that is the important. If you don't remember anything today, remember, if a man, therefore, will purge himself of this, it is the man that has the responsibility and the duty to purge himself of impurities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse who? Ourselves. Cleanse who? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This admonition is not for unbelievers. I hope we realize that Paul was addressing Christians, those who believed. And he was telling them that we need to cleanse ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. I don't know what that is keeping you cleanse it. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us His Word. And He has even placed brethren to assist us in this work of cleansing. But the final work must be done by ourselves. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, again, you are doing the mortifying. Who is mortifying? Me. Who is mortifying? Who is mortifying? Who is mortifying? If we mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. In Exodus chapter 30, from verses 17 to 21, God commanded Moses to provide a laver of brass and to put water in that laver. I asked him to place that laver between the tabernacle of congregation and the altar. God also instructed Moses to tell Aaron and his children that any time they entered the congregation, the tabernacle of congregation, any time they were going to offer sacrifices of burnt offering, that they should wash their hands and feet with the water in that brazen laver. Anytime Aaron and Moses went into the presence of God, God required them to wash with clay, because God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. In that passage, God said that this shall be a perpetual ordinance, a perpetual practice. Anytime you come into my presence, you must wash so that you will be clean. And he warned, if you do not wash, you will die. Today, God is resident in us. We carry the presence of God. As you are seated here, you are carrying the presence of God, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If God required of Aaron and his children to be clean when they were to get into his presence, God's standard has not changed. God still requires that everywhere and anywhere his presence is, there should be cleanness. There should be purity. So, if I am carrying the presence of God, I need to be clean. I like teaching, so join me when I want you to join me. I'm not a preacher like some. I just like teaching. I enjoy it even in the class. Alright? So, let us do it as students, so that some of you will not sleep. The presence of God requires cleanliness. We say it in our common parlance. Godliness, cleanliness is next to good. That statement is entirely correct in every ramification. You cannot be next to God with all these impurities. They have to be cleansed. there needs to be washing. And the person that needs to wash those impurities is you. God has provided the laver of brass. He has provided the water. Aaron was required to wash. His children were required to wash. Everything that we need to be holy, sanctified, made pure, has been provided without exception. But you have to appropriate them for them to be meaningful. Sometimes you ask, is it possible to be holy? Is it possible? Is it possible? It is possible. But the extent to which you appreciate it is determined again by you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul said he should purge himself of these. We are going to look at these, the things that we need to purge ourselves of to become these honorable, beautiful vessels. And I will just mention the things that are contained in that chapter. Not necessarily in the order in which they appeared, but I will mention just the things in that chapter. Number one, verse 22, mentioned lust, useful lust. That is one thing we need to purge ourselves of. Lust. I'm sure we know what lust is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Excessive craving for the gratification of bodily desires. For food, for sex. Lust of the eyes, greed and covetousness. Whatever you see, you want it to become your own. Lust. Lust is one thing that has rendered us useless, even when we speak in tongues. We can't threaten the devil because of lust. The second, I have to rush. Maybe before I leave that, somebody can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul said there to the Ephesians, see, this message was not only to Timothy, but to the entire church. We have referred to Corinthians, now Ephesians. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We need to put that off to make progress. Remember, if you live after the flesh, you will die after the flesh. That is Romans chapter 8, verse 13. In that same passage we read, Paul mentioned evil doing, or in Aresi, King James Version, iniquity, sin, unrighteousness. Our brother James said that sin is a result of lust maturing. You see why I mentioned lust first? Because it's like a preventive action if you can stop it at the level of lust. And they say that prevention is better than cure. But when you don't deal with the lust, when lust matures, it produces what? Sin. And when sin has matured, it will give birth to death. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Everyone who names the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. Should depart from iniquity. Does iniquity have a dwelling place? Does it have a station? That you need to depart from it. It would appear so. And there is a place of iniquity, for iniquity, which I am not supposed to be in. If I call on God, I need to depart. A life of sin renders whatever service one offers not only unacceptable, but outrightly opprobrious. In fact, odious, smelly. It is often a pointer to the fact that the one offering the service doesn't even know God. Am I clear? A life of sin may actually be a pointer. I am being sincere so that we can examine ourselves. That you actually do not belong to God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Are you born of God? And the sin. Then there is a problem. If a tiger begins to give birth to snake, there is a problem, is it not? Is it not? If you suddenly see tiger giving birth to snake, then there's a problem. So if you're a seed of God and you practice sin, practice iniquity, then there's a problem. God indeed knows those who are his, whether you accept or not. And let me remind us that it is not what people call you that is important. You can answer any name. They can call you man of God or son of God or devil destroyer. When you are indeed devil's daughter, if you doubt me, let us go back. You know the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, chapter 1 verse 3, they were described as the priests of the Lord. That is the name. That is the designation. That is the office they occupied. Priests of the Lord. May have called you a chorister, some leader. Priests. Or it may just be an ordinary member, Christian, born again, tongue speaking. They had a name. Priests of the Lord. It's like Wi-Fi, great to so many people. And that is why you must run away from it. If you must serve God. And the greatest weapon against heresy is studying to show yourself approved. Knowing what God says. And knowing that God has only one standard. Praise the Lord. Now, when you have purged yourself